Welcome into the Rookie Big Board Podcast, continuing on with our two-part special episode. My name is Matt Hicks, the FF Educator, and I am joined by two of my good friends, Alfred and Kane, who are giving a great both film and analytics perspective for me, really kind of challenging the picks that I have laid out here. We are doing a four-round rookie mock draft based on landing spots that I have done for my best educated guess on a seven-round NFL mock draft. I did the full mock draft. These are not best landing spots. I think these are most realistic landing spots. And we did round one and two, so make sure to check out that episode. That's probably getting a lot of your studs, but as Kane eloquently put it here, we're done drafting studs. Rounds three and four, they could be really huge hits for your fantasy football team. So we're going to be talking about not only the players here, but the impact of the landing spots. And Alfred, you're going to kick us off here with round three and keep this mock draft rolling.
Yeah, so this was a bitter pill to swallow, but you know, some of us are analytics minded. Some of us are tape minded. But you really need to do all of the above. And so what I did was I took Kadarius Toney here at 301. I am a Gator fan. I love what he did last year, but I do not think his profile looks like an NFL fantasy relevant receiver to me. However, you also got to know receivers just being taken in the top two rounds is a green light, you know, for future production. So somebody thinks he's a second round pick. And in this case, that was the New England Patriots. Well, that's another one because they don't draft receivers very well, I guess. But second round pick, he didn't break out until he was a senior. I mean, there's a whole story behind why I wouldn't like him from a profile perspective. But hey, at this point in the third round of a rookie draft, I can get a guy who was drafted in the second round of the real NFL draft. It just seems silly not to. I need to put away my metrics mind and say, look, draft capital and volume wins. They don't have anybody else who can really do a lot. Julian Edelman's gone. It just seems like that was it's a smart value play to me. So I went ahead and took it. Opportunity cost is not a big deal in the third round, so we'll see what happens with Toney and the New England Patriots.
All right, yeah. Kane, on to you here.
And just to add on to Alfred's point, I think this is actually the lowest I've seen Kadarius Toney go.
Yeah, it's pretty late.
Right. Like, Kadarius Toney will probably end up with first-round draft capital, and when he does, if you're still getting him at the 301, man, that's a steal. So at the 302, I went with Chuba Hubbard because I like running backs. I do. I'll say it. I'm a running back believer. You gave him fourth-round draft capital at the Arizona Cardinals, and I think he's already the best running back on the Arizona Cardinals team. I'm not a Chase Edmonds believer. I think they would have given him the opportunity already if they believed in him. They certainly wouldn't have drafted James Conner if they believed in him. And with, you know, Arizona still playing offense like they're in the Big 12, they're giving lanes to running backs. And a fast running back like Chuba Hubbard will be able to take advantage of that. Sure, his vision is straight cheeks. But if he can actually get through the line, I think you have a home run on your hands right there at pick 302.
All right, and it was actually fifth-round draft capital. It was pick 161, but definitely the point still holds up pretty strong here, and it's a good example of day three draft capital being day three draft capital, and so Kane's going to go and get his guy, and I think that's a good approach here. All right, with pick 303, I took Dimitrik Felton. Dimitrik Felton is one of my guys in this draft class. I've talked about him a lot. I think he's a great athlete. It remains to be seen whether he's going to be used as a running back or a wide receiver at the next level because he played both at UCLA. He played both at the Senior Bowl, so we're really not sure how he's going to be used. But I have him coming off the board here to the Kansas City Chiefs with pick 136, so in the fourth round. I don't think the Chiefs are going to go in next year with just CEH alone. It looks like Lev Bell is not coming back. And I think Demetric Felton is a really good running back there to pair in the Kansas City backfield. UCLA used him all over the field, and I imagine Andy Reid could get excited about that. So I think it's a really fun upside player here in an offense where if the starting running back goes down, all of a sudden you have a potential league winner and you're drafting him in the third round. So I'm a big fan of Demetric Felton on his own. I like the landing spot, and in the third round, he presents the type of upside that you should be looking for in your rookie drafts. And upside might be the word here, and the only word that maybe we could use with Alfred's next pick.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, look, I mean, just to piggyback on what you were talking about, anyone that goes to Kansas City is worth a dart throw for sure. Kane touched on it with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Felton, of course, it's all the same story. You've got the keys to that engine is Patrick Mahomes, and you just want all the weapons at his disposal. But moving on to my pick. Yeah, it's a super flex draft. At the 304, there's no position players that I feel like I absolutely have to have. There's a number I still like, but I think I can kind of cherry pick them later. And I'm going to take my quarterback that I like the most in the second or third tier of the rookies this year, and that's Kellen Mond, you know, from Texas A&M. He's got some wheels. He can run around a little bit. And he gets drafted in this mock in the third round to Detroit, who, you know, Jared Goff is Jared Goff. You know, there's no guarantee Mond is going to start anytime soon, but like there's a path to it if he shows out in camp, if he shows out and in limited time as a rookie, that maybe even next year, something like that. So there's definitely some. There's a path there for relevance. And he's got the Konami code going on. You know, that's all I really need to know at this point in the draft. We're talking complete upside, and that's why he gets the nod over some other quarterbacks like Kyle Trask and Davis Mills, because of the rushing upside for fantasy purposes.
Yeah, it's probably an ideal landing spot there for Kellen Mond, because he legitimately could have a shot at starting long term. All right, Kane, you're up here with 305.
Yeah, I went with Nico Collins because you have him going round three to the Baltimore Ravens, and first, I'll just say that I'm happy that none of the running back or none of the wide receivers I really, really liked ended up with the landmine that is the Baltimore Ravens. So really happy about that. Thanks, Matt, that we didn't have to discuss this earlier. But I think he's already one of the most talented, just talent wise. I think he's one of the most talented wide receivers on that team instantly. Mm-hmm. That both says something about Nico Collins, but that also says something a lot about the wide receivers that the Baltimore Ravens have, which is like skinny Minnie and his friends, right? Like there's just no one on that team that can catch passes down the field and actually do that in press coverage. So I think Nico Collins has the ability to do that. And I think this is really good draft capital for a guy that has had a lot of question marks, but we're really just hoping on the talent showing through. So Nico Collins at the 305, I'm actually really happy with.
All right. Yeah. I'm a big Nico Collins fan, and I'm also a Ravens fan. So I couldn't send Terrace Marshall or Rashad Bateman or any of the guys who are normally, I just couldn't do it. Even though it might happen in real life. At 306 here, I'm going to go with landing spot again as really a determining factor here. And I like Amari Rodgers. I think the NFL likes Amari Rodgers even more than I or most fantasy folks do. And I have him here landing in Houston. And I know Houston is an absolute dumpster fire right now. And there is a lot of volatility. But I also think once things settle down, Amari Rodgers can be a point of consistency for this offense. He works really well underneath. He's reliable. You can move him around, but I think he could live in the slot in the NFL and do it in a really a high volume capacity, especially if we end up with like Tyrod Taylor being the starting quarterback and he just needs a reliable guy running drag routes and curls underneath. And so I think Amari Rodgers in the mid third round could actually be a sneaky play. Or if any wide receiver ends up in Houston, they do have a lot of needs, the entire offense essentially. But I think there's some intrigue and some upside here with Amari Rodgers, who again, I think he's going to surprise a lot of folks. I have him going with pick 109, which is the top of round four. And I would not be surprised if he ends up being a round three selection. So again, a guy who I think is definitely worth keeping your eye on regardless of where he goes. We're going to move into the second half of round three here of our mock. And Alfred, you're up here with 307.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think the NFL seems to like Amari Rodgers more than I'm going to like Amari Rodgers. It just seems like the buzz is kind of headed in that direction. So that's kind of interesting. I think he's a safe, maybe a high floor type guy, if not a high ceiling type guy. So anyway, that's a reasonable pick there. I am looking at 307 here. There is one running back or wide receiver that is still left, I believe, who has taken the top three rounds of your mock. That's Michael Carter. He's in consideration for me here. But you had him landing on the Titans. And what are we hoping for there? So, you know, that just seemed like, I don't know, a wasted pick for fantasy, at least. I mean, for real life, I'm sure they can use him. But for fantasy, they just signed Derrick Henry. I mean, what are we hoping for? So that was out. So now I'm like, okay, day three picks, which is where you're really starting to talk about dart throws. So I just went a lot of landing spot here with Jamar Jefferson going to the 49ers, assuming they don't have a whole lot going on there. I mean, I'm not a big Raheem Mostert believer, especially in terms of, like, you know, ability to handle a workload. Yeah, he's going to have a 99-yard run every year, but I don't think he's reliable. They signed Wayne Gallman, who is Wayne Gallman. They don't have a lot going on. I mean, Jamar Jefferson, we know that Kyle Shanahan squeezes every ounce of value out of those running backs. Fifth round or whatever. I mean, in the day three, I don't care. Fifth, sixth, fourth, it doesn't matter. It's all day three to me. And so my hopes are low, but that seemed like a pretty high value pick with Jamar Jefferson.
All right, and I know he's a fan favorite, absolutely. So it's a exciting landing spot in that creative-minded offense. All right, Kane, you're up here with pick 308.
Yeah, I'm just honestly just trying to catch fire here. That's really all I'm trying to do. And that pick is Kyle Trask. You have him going in the third round to the Chicago Bears. And they've shown that they like people like Kyle Trask because they just signed one. Right? They just signed Andy Dalton. They're really similar players. And who knows the history of what, or really not history, but future of what's going to happen with the Chicago Bears. No one knows. No one knows if they're actually going to compete this year or if they're going to suck or who their quarterback is going to be long term. And, you know, let's just hope that Kyle Trask maybe gets a start as they try and figure out the future. And if he does, if he starts one time, that's already surpassed the value that I paid for him.
All right. I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm going to go with some upside here, continuing on with that trend. And I'm going to take Tomorian Terry at 309. I have him landing with Vegas with pick 167, so around five pick. I know some folks think he might go a little bit earlier. I do think he took a little bit of a slide here in my mock draft, but I think Oakland is a fun landing spot. I know they signed John Brown. That's not super exciting. It was a really low contract. And if you look at what Nelson Agholor did, you know, as kind of a speedster, so Tomorian Terry's not quite as fast, but he definitely has a bigger body, bigger frame. And I think Derek Carr could really take advantage of him. It also seems like somebody that John Gruden would fall in love with when going through his player evaluation. So I think it makes a lot of sense, and it's an offense that, despite having Waller, despite having Ruggs, still has some opportunity there for volume. And in round five, you know, it's a worthwhile upside pick to take. But I have to say, I thought I would have more time to take one of my guys, but instead, Alfred is going to snipe him here with the next pick, and I am very, very salty about it. So go ahead, Alfred, 310. Go ahead and select one of my guys.
Yeah, well, I was really hoping Terry would fall. Terry was my guy I was targeting at this pick when I took Jefferson. I was like, I think Terry will be there in a couple picks. I definitely had my eye on him. But instead, I get real-life draft capital that is better than Terry in Austin Watkins, who you have going to the Seahawks in the fourth round at pick 129 overall. Just a quick side note on draft. I know I said in the very beginning that landing spot doesn't really matter. I try to be landing spot agnostic. And that's true in the early rounds because you're talking about talent. You really want the supreme talent. They can win out. They can supersede their offense that they're in, like A.J. Brown did when he was a rookie. Once you get down into this situation, you're looking for depth chart. You're looking for opportunity because of the team that they're on. So depth, I think landing spot does come much more into play. So you'll hear me talking about that as we get much later. Because the talent starts getting kind of low, for to be honest with you, and the NFL seems to agree because these are late round picks. But Austin Watkins is an interesting, savvy route runner out of UAB. That could be why he got low capital, because he's from a G5 school, but he still landed in the fourth round. And the Seahawks are an interesting landing spot. You know, you still got Russell Wilson there. He doesn't seem to be going anywhere. DK Metcalf is a total stud. And then you have Tyler Lockett, who's getting a little older. You know, I don't know what his contract situation is actually going to be like. And, you know, these contracts are kind of fluid anyway. Seattle could probably figure out a way to get out of it if Austin Watkins comes in and is good. And maybe I think he's a decent complement to DK Metcalf in the way he plays. I do think he could be a Tyler Lockett, you know, understudy. And so I kind of like that situation. I think he's their third best receiver kind of walking into camp.
All right. I'm starting to think that Kane might have a type with his third round draft strategy. So go ahead here at 311.
Well, you have Davis Mills going to Denver. I don't think that Drew Locke is a good quarterback.
How dare you continue?
Well, he's shown that. So I have to just go with any quarterback that they're drafting and hope that Drew Locke doesn't make it the full season. Right. If they're really not taking a quarterback early, that means they're at least committed to start the season with Drew Locke, and who knows how it's going to end. But Drew Locke has already been hurt before. So let's just hope that maybe Davis Mills can play a game. And if not, we're in a super flex league. So, you know, the Drew Locke owner might be getting a little worried as soon as some of his poor games start to show. So that's what I'm going to take a shot on and just hope that I can get some semblance of value a little bit later.
All right. Well, Alfred alluded to Michael Carter landing with Tennessee earlier in talking about what the NFL impact of that. I know a lot of folks are really high on Michael Carter. I like Michael Carter, but I don't want to burst the bubble, but I think whether he goes round three, round four, I think he'll go in that range. I think his best spot is as a good NFL player on a running back by committee type set. I don't see him being the guy on an offense. And I think a team like Tennessee or a team like Carolina could be looking to add a running back to help their stud, you know, kind of just be in that support role, change of pace back, and then somebody who's reliable if their stud goes down. And the upside here with Michael Carter, who I did take at 312 going to the Tennessee Titans, is that you have Derrick Henry, who for all intents and purposes is on a two-year contract. The Titans have an out after that. And the hope is that Tennessee moves on from Derrick Henry, an aging running back at the time, and then Michael Carter, you know, kind of inherits that backfield, and hopefully he has a chance to prove that. So, you know, it's certainly not a foolproof plan here, but at 312, I'm taking somebody who I do think the NFL is going to value, which means he's going to find some time on the field. And gentlemen, if you thought that we were, you know, digging deep in round three, it's time to go all the way in, because we're heading to round four. And as always, Alfred, you're going to kick it off.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. This pick was I didn't know what to do here. So I went with the early breakout, you know, tremendous production as a true sophomore for Tutu Atwell at Louisville. He had almost 40% of his team's market share as a true sophomore. And you have him going to the Washington football team in the fifth round of your mock draft. So again, it's a little bit of landing spot and opportunity, right? I mean, they have one guy. They have one interesting receiver in Washington, and Tutu Atwell becomes the second interesting receiver. They've already used Steven Sims some. He's a very smallish wide receiver as well. I think Tutu Atwell is a much more explosive version maybe of than Steven Sims, who's gotten some run, and now goes to that team. Now, he weighed in. Did he weigh in at 149?
You drafted all 146 pounds of Tutu Atwell.
You know, that's just ridiculous. I don't even have like a conceptual, like, how can you play in the NFL at 149 or 146? But in any case, these picks are dart throws, and I think it's the depth chart situation that I kind of like. And they've got a YOLO quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick, or they've got Mac Jones who can deliver the ball at least. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to do with this, so I just took the breakout age.
All right. Well, believe it or not, you can still get sniped in the fourth round, and that's what Kane is about to do to me here. Because I think this is a really sneaky good landing spot at 402.
Yes, I don't think it's a good landing spot necessarily, but take everything that I said about Davis Mills and just paste it into this argument, because you have Jamie Newman going to the Patriots. So it's just a straight copy paste and hope that he plays a game. That's really all. Because if out of the three quarterbacks I've taken, right, if one even plays a few games, that's worth all of them. Right. And it's worth more than some of my second round picks. So let's just hope that one quarterback plays. And so I can just keep taking shots on these quarterbacks.
And that's what we tell you. We tell you to rack up your third and fourth round picks, because that's when you throw your dart throws. And if you throw six darts at the board and two stick, you're in a pretty good spot for fantasy purposes. All right, at 403 here, we're going to go with one of my guys, Javian Hawkins. You know, I have come around. I have asked everybody from the NFL perspective that I can. Nobody will validate my thoughts that Javian Hawkins should actually be considered a day two talent. Everyone's telling me he's going day three. But I have him landing here with the Philadelphia Eagles, and obviously that's not an ideal landing spot, but guess what? If a running back goes day three, they're not the starting running back for an offense, right? So what do you get here? You get a team that is fairly committed to the run with the Philadelphia Eagles, and you get what you want from any running back that you love that is not, you know, a superstar. You're always in a running back by committee or in a depth chart system. You're one injury away from having a starting running back in the NFL. And if you love that running back, you think he can be a league winner, then you're one injury away. And you're never rooting for an injury, but it's the NFL, and running backs get injured. Miles Sanders has missed time over the last couple of years, and they've struggled when Miles Sanders is out to fill in that role. So I think Javian Hawkins legitimately could head to Philadelphia, come in as running back two, and sit on my taxi squad until, you know, and if I need him. And if not, it was an early fourth round selection, and I took somebody I liked, and I got excited about it for at least a couple months until it proved to be not fruitful, right? Which is half of the reason that we do this anyways. Now, moving on here to 404 and Alfred's pick. This is interesting. I alluded to this in the first episode of this two-part special series. And we had Kenny Gainwell going off the board early to the Atlanta Falcons. And now we have another running back here. And it's somebody who I also really like. And I think the NFL might even be higher than what I gave him for draft capital here. So explain this pick for us, Alfred, at 404.
Yeah, so there's a couple of guys. You know, Jamar Jefferson going to the 49ers was one, and this one was one that stood out to me when I initially went down the draft slots, because Kylan Hill is an interesting player out of Mississippi State. He showed he could, you know, at least catch some swing passes in that air raid before he opted out in 2020 when he played under Mike Leach. And then I think he was like, well, I'm not going to get to show anybody my like running skills this year. I've already shown my catching skills, so I'm just going to bounce. But you know, he's a compact. He's built like a three down guy. He's built like a workhorse running back. I'm not sure he's like the most athletic guy in the world, but he's going to go to a depth chart like Matt said, who in Atlanta that's got nobody. And they have, if Gainwell and Hill both go to Atlanta, that's 1-2. They're probably a 1-2 punch from day one. Like there's nobody else there that's really good. They just released, I think, Ito Smith. Todd Gurley's not re-signed. So they signed Mike Davis, who's fine. You know, he's a veteran presence. He might play in the first couple weeks, but I think it's interesting. I mean, we're talking so late in the rookie draft now, like just take a path to something like he did with Javian Hawkins and taxi squad until some injuries happen. The other interesting thing is Javian Hawkins can wear his number 10 now, so he doesn't have to get a new number.
I like that. Keep it looking tough. Now, Kane, you're going to take somebody here with this next selection that I think is not on the radar of everybody, but I think it's actually a really good and a sneaky pick here.
Yeah, man, at the end of this, you're gonna make it seem like I'm the analytics guy. I just keep chasing draft capital because that matters, man. Because that means that the NFL teams like these guys, right? But Tommy Tremble, the tight end, he came from Notre Dame. You have him going to the Miami Dolphins. I don't
Pick
know why I
81,
can't.
pick 81,
Miami.
so early
Miami, that's how you
capital.
say it. Yeah, you give him third round draft capital. And, they actually. Both Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick actually performed better in 12 personnel. So some tight ends are on the landscape here, and they need a second one, and they could use a first one, to be honest. But I'm going to save that Gesicki hate a little bit later because we don't need to talk about that now. But they need someone that's actually going to be able to block and catch passes. And right now, Gesicki, that's just not him. Because he's not that blocking guy. He's not really much of an inline guy. He's actually being used in the slot. So I think Tremble's really exciting because they're going to run more 12 and they're going to protect Tua. And, we're still talking day two capital here. So Tommy Tremble needs to be on your radar, especially late, because I think he's actually going to end up with day two draft capital and be the third wide or the third tight end off the board.
All right, here 406. This is one of my guys. And listen, when you get to the third, fourth round, get the guys that get you excited, right? Get your guys. And I right before we were recording these mock draft episodes, I was on the call doing a rookie draft consolation call with one of the patrons. And he said, "Give me your late round guys, right? Give me the guys that if I'm in an auction league, I'm spending a dollar on. Give me the fourth round guy. Like these are the ones I want to add them to my taxi squad and just hold on and see what happens." And Cade Johnson to the Bears at 406. If I'm looking at all the landing spots, this might be one of my top three favorite ones of any of them in this draft. So Cade Johnson, out of South Dakota State, I think he's going to start in the NFL making a squad as a special teams guy. Hey, the Bears just let Patterson walk. They're in need of a special teams, a return specialist, and Cade Johnson proved the ability to do that down over in South Dakota State. And they've also been talking about moving Anthony Miller potentially during the draft. So Cade Johnson could potentially come in, contribute right away in the slot. And I like him. I think he's got great hands. He came to the Senior Bowl, performed really well. He's athletic. They moved him all around the field, again, in that hybrid role that, he's definitely smaller than Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't want to frame him as that same frame player by any means. I'm not directly comping him, but I think he could do very similar things as to what he's been doing for the Bears, and he could do it, right off the bat as a rookie. So I got to be honest, Cade Johnson's a guy who's probably going to be on 80%+ of my rosters because I'll take him in the fourth round all day. And I almost hope he doesn't come with good draft capital because I don't want other folks to know about it. Like the listeners can know about it, but if you're in my league, can you just pretend like you did not listen to the last 2 minutes of me talking? Because I could talk all day about Cade Johnson. He is one of my top sleepers in this year's draft class. And gentlemen, we are at the home stretch here of this 4-round rookie mock draft with landing spots. Alfred, the 407, it's all you.
Yeah, so little side note, just a plug for campusdecanton.com. Cade Johnson has a younger brother named Keegan Johnson, who is an athlete recruit going to play wide receiver for Iowa. And he's really exciting and already getting on the field in the spring game. So just want to let you know, those are the kind of nuggets you can get over at c2c.com.
You'll
Cade
love to
Johnson.
see it.
Yeah, Cade Johnson's got a younger brother who went Power Five, and he's already making waves. So it's in the bloodlines there. But I do like Cade Johnson too. He was on my list, so you kind of sniped me. But I'm very happy to get a guy who, like Cade, for you. Shai Smith is probably going to be on 90% of my rosters because you're going to get him at the end of every single draft. And I just, it's breaking a lot of my rules. You know how I went to. I said I was going to take early production with Tutu Atwell because there was nothing else there. And now I'm not taking, this guy didn't break out. So it was like fourth year at South Carolina. But I like the film. I mean, what can I say? I like what I see. I think he's a good receiver. Shout out to Jetpack Galileo. He's got hashtag arrogant hands. He just is a absolute beast when it comes to attacking the ball in the air, securing the ball. And he plays much bigger than his size. He's not too small, but he plays like he's like 6'4", you know, 220. I just think he's an incredibly tough wide receiver and a very good wide receiver. You know, we'll see what happens with the late breakout and all that jazz. But he goes to Indy, which I think sneakily doesn't have a lot of wide receiver talent. I mean, you know, Michael Pittman's good, but T.Y. Hilton is getting very old. And then after that, they don't even have anybody. I mean, Paris Campbell's not a thing. He's not going to happen, I don't think. And then you've got like Zach Pascal. I mean, you just got a bunch of garbage. They're great human beings, I'm sure. But as fantasy assets, a bunch of trash out there. That's nothing personal. But I just think he's like, there's going to be opportunity. I mean, if any wide receiver goes to Indianapolis, I think there's opportunity right off the bat, honestly, behind Michael Pittman. I you know, T.Y. Hilton's going to have a role, but I think there's opportunity really quickly. So sixth round is tough to swallow, but I like the player. I like the landing spot. So just took him.
All right, Gain. Well, if there's anything you know that is more enthusiastic than Alfred calling Colts wide receivers absolute garbage, it's how the Patriots feel about drafting running backs. So we gave him another one here with your pick 408.
Yeah. Well, this is the next James White.
Interesting. You
know, Elijah Mitchell. I have been drafting in C2C leagues for 2 years. So if you need them receipts, I got them. Elijah Mitchell is just really, really good. He's coming out of University of Louisiana Lafayette, who, you know, didn't have the most awe-inspiring way of playing, right? They didn't try to get running backs out in space. If they got in space, neato. But it's not something that they really tried to do. But this is a super athletic guy. He's coming in at a sub 4.440. And he had the production at Louisiana Lafayette. So I think this is actually really, really exciting. And he could be taken over the Patriots pass-catching role after James White finally hangs up the cleats after 62 seasons in the NFL.
That's amazing. All right, here with 409, I took Hunter Long, who I have going to Buffalo. I like Dawson Knox, but I definitely see Buffalo as a candidate to add another tight end in this year's class, you know, kind of just be able to implement the two tight end sets a little bit more effectively. And I think Hunter Long is a much more, a better two-way tight end. And I have him going here with pick 93, so third round draft capital. I think Hunter Long, he's a good red zone target, which helps us for fantasy football. I think he's a good blocker, so he'll get on the field fairly early. Again, this is a tight end in fantasy football. This is not going to be a guy who's going to make a huge impact in year one. But in our tight end landscape, in the wasteland that it is, you know, taking a shot late on a tight end, it may work out for you. It probably won't. But it's a worthwhile pick to make. And I think if you're going to do it at 409, you know, Hunter Long is a good dart throw to make. He's definitely less of a risk, less of a volatile player. Let's put it that way. Then maybe some of our more athletic, you know, type tight ends that we could have taken, like a Kenny Yabo, even though I like Kenny Yabo. Or, you know, we could keep going down that road. So I'm going to take a two-way tight end here in Hunter Long. And, Alfred, your final selection. I feel like we're at the end of a marathon here, and you're making your final selection here with 410.
Yeah, I'm going to try to just not talk as much because I kind of get myself into some trouble. But at this point, I'm going to go with a guy. Very interesting. He lasts till 410 in this draft. I mean, almost undrafted in this thing when Seth Williams at one point in my rankings was like a top five wide receiver. I mean, he has all the metrics you really want. He broke out as a sophomore, 30% of the market share. He did it again as a junior and left early, which is all great. But, you know, there's some athleticism concerns. There's some separation ability concerns with him. And he falls to the fourth round, I think, of your mock.
I think
later. But again, it You had him pick 117. So
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I actually gave him good draft capital. Good for me.
Fourth round. I mean, it's not awful, but like I said, day three is day three. But, you know, he's got some positives in his profile. He goes to a team that seems to get the most out of their athletes under Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. I don't need immediate production out of this pick, and it's a good environment. They just got who did they get in this? Justin Fields throwing him the ball in this scenario. So yeah, pretty interesting. I don't expect much, but he's got some positives that make me optimistic he could do something.
All right, well, Kane, your final pick is going to be another endorsement of the great SEC powerhouse football team from the state of Alabama, which is, of course, the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, I'm just taking the better wide receiver from Auburn. So I'm taking Anthony Schwartz, because you're giving him, what, fourth-round draft capital going to the Jaguars, which the Jaguars don't have speed at the wide receiver position.
And what is Urban Meyer like? What is Urban Meyer like?
Urban Meyer has got a strong case of the zoomies. he really likes players that can go fast, man. And Anthony Schwartz can go faster than any other wide receiver in college football this past year. You know, he's really, really special. And he was running basically at 10 flat 100-meter dash, which is Olympic level speed.
Yeah, it's
in
like
case
world
you're
class.
Wondering. Yeah, that's really, really good. He actually got second in under 24 nationals. I think he ran like a 9.8 or something. Like dude's crazy fast. So yeah, I want him on my team. I want him bad.
All right. Great here. Great case for Anthony Schwartz, especially with that landing spot. I don't think Jacksonville is going to take a wide receiver early. Like, everybody wants to give them a wide receiver at the top of round two or late in round one. But I do think, you know, where I took him in round four makes a lot of sense. And I think this pick makes a lot of sense, too. Listen, here at 412, I'm taking Frank Darby. And I got to be honest, this was one of the more difficult picks, guys, because there was a lot of players that got left off of our mock draft that I thought would have been really interesting to talk about. But I did think if I invited you to a six-round mock draft, you would not have accepted or ever talked to me again. So I instead decided to just make this selection. And then, you know, we could talk offline about any players who didn't get selected. And actually, if you do want to know, leave a comment on the video and I'll tell you, you know, if one of your players that you wanted to hear, if you're watching, you know, feel free to leave a comment and I'll let you know where they landed. But anyways, back to 412, the final selection here, Frank Darby. I got him going to Minnesota. And Frank Darby is far from a safe prospect. You know, he's got an athletic mold. He's explosive. I thought he had good hands. But honestly, there's not a lot of tape on Frank Darby. And there's not a lot to go off of. He's never been the guy on his offense because this year was the year to be the guy. And he didn't even really play in Arizona's shortened season. I think he had 6 catches in 2 games. And Arizona State only played, I think, 4 games. So we just didn't get to see what we wanted to see. But he did go to the Senior Bowl. You know, I heard he impressed at the Senior Bowl. And this is a good opportunity because Minnesota doesn't have a third wide receiver. Now, they're not an offense that's also going to really highly depend on the third wide receiver. But, you know, he's a guy who potentially could get on the field more if he proves, you know, that he deserves to be. So at 412, you know, going for an athletic upside raw type prospect in an offense that could potentially, you know, benefit from his volume. Especially with an aging Adam Thielen kind of being a centerpiece of the offense. So there's some upside and there's some projection here with Frank Darby. So this was actually a very difficult pick for me to make because, like I said, there's probably 5 or 6 other guys that I could have justified with this pick. But I do like the raw upside ability with Frank Darby, and I wanted to make a point to, you know, use that final pick to emphasize, you know, if you're going to take your dart throws, you might as well throw, you know, swing big here. I'm just going to mix up my metaphors here as we go. Kane, Alfred, thank you so much for joining one more time. I know we mentioned at the beginning of this special series, but again, Alfred, why don't you start us off here? Let us know about your content, what you're doing, what you're all about, and where we can find that goodness.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me for this mock. This was very fun. It was really interesting to see the landing spots. I mean, that made a nice little wrinkle. I am a co-founder of CampusToCanton.com. That's with the number 2 in the name, CampusToCanton.com. We specialize in content for deep devy and obviously Campus to Canton type leagues. But really, it's just... We have the most college football player content you can really have out there in terms of through a fantasy lens. So even if you're in Devy Dynasty, you just want to know about the next class and the next class after that and the incoming freshman and who's good, we'll have that for you. And right now we're breaking down all the spring games that were relevant. We're going to be doing some live stuff for the NFL draft. And then obviously I also do some content for Razzball.com. They gave me my start, and so I still like to go stop by over there and hang out with the dudes and do some dynasty stuff for them as well. So also, I guess I didn't even mention at the top of the show, but in the other episode, but I do Why Wait Till Sunday. That's like my own personal podcast. It's kind of housed under Campus to Canton now, so you can find it there too. But that's something where in season, I'm going to specialize in college DFS, college football DFS. And then in the off season, we're just talking about players and depth charts and what to expect next year and all that kind of stuff. So thanks for having me on, and I'll see you out there in the Twitter streets.
All right, and Kaner, bring us home.
Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Devy_Kane. I'm the host of the Devy Marketplace podcast, which is a podcast that we look at Devy players in a value lens. So it's the only podcast like it in the Devy sphere where we're just looking at trading and what we can get for players, where we're trying to buy and sell and actually making sure we're doing it at the right time. Because these players are not scoring any points to your fantasy teams right now, so we have to make sure that they're actually accruing value and making sure that you're getting the best bang for your buck before they even get to the NFL. And then I'm also on the Headliners EU YouTube page, where you can find me talking about both Devy prospects as well as just arguing with some friends over which prospect is better. So go over there and check that out.
Yeah, we're absolutely going to be linking both of their work in the show notes. If you're listening, please make sure you're subscribed. If you're watching, please make sure you're subscribed and you give the video a like. Thank you for checking out this episode of The Rookie Big Board.